The Old Testament reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 31. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, the pregnant woman and she who is in labor, together. A great company they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with pleas for mercy I will lead them back. I will make them walk by brooks of water in a straight path, in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. The word of the Lord. The New Testament reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 7. The former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for their own sins, and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark 10, verses 46 to 52. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. What if Jesus asked you the same question he asked Bartimaeus? What do you want me to do for you? What would you ask for? This story about blind Bartimaeus is a story about prayer, really. About Bartimaeus crying out to Jesus with a request and Jesus responding. So if you had one shot, one opportunity, just like Bartimaeus, what would you ask for? Earlier in Mark 10, right before the story of blind Bartimaeus, there's another episode described where the brothers and apostles, James and John, ask Jesus for something. Something very different. Some of you are familiar with the story. Jesus and his entourage were headed to Jericho on their way to Jerusalem. His followers were convinced that when they got there, Jesus would be crowned the King of Israel. Those closest to Jesus, including James and John, were anticipating that when Jesus was crowned king, they would all be assigned positions of honor and power and wealth in his new kingdom. So James and John approached Jesus, asking if they could be awarded the positions of greatest honor once Jesus ascended the throne. And Jesus had to explain that their concept of the kingdom that God was about to establish was all wrong. The kingdom of God displays its power in the humiliation and pain and the apparent defeat of the cross. The kingdom of God is not about gaining political power, nor is it about accumulating wealth or personal glory. The kingdom of God is about compassion for the other, for those different from you. It's about loving God and our neighbor. It's about a restored relationship with God because we've been forgiven. I'm strongly inclined to believe that if we ask God for political power or wealth or glory, that God's answer would be a lot like Jesus' answer to James and John. A disappointed and exasperated, "You don't understand." So Jesus said no to James and John, but he said yes to blind Bartimaeus. So did Jesus just feel sorry for Bartimaeus? That would be consistent with his compassion for the downtrodden and the rejected and those shunned by society. But as Jesus healed Bartimaeus, something else came up. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." And Bartimaeus did display faith in Jesus. When he called out to him, he said, "Jesus, Son of David." That was a recognition of Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior who had come from the line of David. Clearly, Jesus answered prayer out of compassion. But when he answered prayer, he often also used the moment as an opportunity to praise the faith of the prayer and build the faith of those watching. He used prayer to make an important statement. Here's what I mean. There's an incident best described in Luke 5 where Jesus was inside a house in a town along the Sea of Galilee. Pharisees had come clear from Jerusalem to check him out. The place was packed, and people who couldn't fit inside the house stood outside, gathered around the doorway trying to listen. A group of men heard that Jesus was in town, and they carried a paralyzed friend on a stretcher to present to Jesus and ask him to heal their friend. When they got to the house and they saw the huge crowd, they were dismayed. But they got an idea. They somehow got their friend up on the rooftop, dug a hole in the clay roof, and lowered their friend through the hole, laying him in front of Jesus. After people shifted to make space for the stretcher in the crowded room, Jesus, impressed by their faith, said something unexpected. He said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." That room was crowded with Pharisees, religious leaders who were skeptical, who'd come clear from Jerusalem to check Jesus out. Immediately, they were filled with anger. "This man, Jesus, is a liar and a blasphemer. No one can forgive sins but God alone." Jesus, knowing their thoughts, responded immediately. "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? So that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," Jesus turned to the man who was paralyzed and said, "Rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home," which he did then and there. Jesus used prayer to make a bigger, even more important statement than just demonstrating that he can heal. The even more important statement in this case is that Jesus can and does forgive our sin. If our sin is forgiven, that means we can be reconciled with our Father in heaven, which means our relationship with God is restored. We can have confidence in God's love for us. We can be at peace knowing that He'll never leave us or forsake us. Today's epistle lesson from Hebrews helps explain that. You know, one thing that's troubling about prayer for a lot of us is this issue of faith. Jesus praised the faith of Bartimaeus, and He praised the faith of the paralyzed man and his friends. Then He answered their prayers very dramatically. So when Jesus looks at you, does He evaluate your faith? Does He praise your faith? Frankly, I have some real doubts that my faith would be praised by Jesus. When I look at myself honestly, it's pretty clear that my faith is all over the map, usually dependent on my circumstances. Does that mean my prayers will never be answered? That's probably an applicable question for a lot of us. And that question is why I love the incident reported in Mark 9, the story of the man with the demon-possessed son, who asked Jesus to heal his son, saying, "If you can, please heal my son." And Jesus responded, "If I can, all things are possible for one who believes." And the man responded, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Despite his wavering faith, Jesus immediately healed the man's son. That's encouragement for all of us who struggle to believe, who wrestle with our faith. If that includes you, understand that it's God who gives us faith as a gift. We don't and we can't conjure it up on our own. And God is merciful even to us who struggle with doubt. You know, one thing seems to be true, even among us who have experienced answered prayer in our lives, even among us who have experienced what we would call miracles in our lives, it seems that prayer is still a mystery and that none of us knows the mind of God. And it seems that often our failures in life, our struggles and our sorrows and our strife in life, the things that we wish we could just pray away, the things we'd like to change, those are the things that God often uses to draw us closer to Him. He uses to teach us. The Romans 8:28, "All things work together for good" idea. So if Jesus asked you the same question He asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" No restrictions. What would you ask for? You know, the older every one of us gets, I think the clearer the answer becomes. I think this is true for most of us. We'd ask to be with the people we love and who love us, to be reunited with those now in heaven. We'd ask to be at peace with those whom we once were in conflict with. We'd ask to be free from grief and pain. And we'd ask to be forgiven. Forgiven for everything. The good news is, that's your prayer that Jesus guarantees to answer in the affirmative. So be at peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, even when our faith is wavering and we're plagued with doubt. Lord, help us to be ever mindful and ever thankful that our relationship is not based on our failures, but based on your unceasing love for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.